Transparency: How Leaders Create a Culture of Candor. Authors: Warren Bennis, Daniel Goldman, James O'Toole. Great transparency has brought bewilderment, as well as enlightenment, confusion, as well as clarity. Each new revelation reminds us that the ground is not solid beneath our feet. We are uneasily aware that the present has no shelf life. Although we know more than ever, we often feel less in control. Creating a culture of candor. When we speak of transparency and creating a culture of candor, we are really talking about the free flow of information within an organization and between the organization and its many stakeholders, including the public. An organization's capacity to compete, solve problems, innovate, meet challenges, and achieve goals varies to the degree that information flow remains healthy. It simply means that critical information gets to the right person at the right time and for the right reasons. Although the successful flow of information is not automatic and often requires a leader's commitment, if not intervention, it happens every day in organizational life, often in the most mundane ways. Choosing transparency. There is no need to say that complete transparency is not possible, nor is it even desirable in many instances. Just as national security concerns may justify limiting access to certain information to a small number of carefully vetted individuals, an organization may have a legitimate interest in holding close and guarding from competitors information about innovations, original processes, secret recipes, or corporate strategies. However, secretiveness is often simply reflexive, and secretive organizations are vulnerable to exposure by both the mainstream media and their growing legions of amateur competitors. But even when lack of candor is likely to be harmful, many organizations continue to choose it over openness. Whistleblowers then and now. The most damaging secrets within organizations are often those that deal with activities that cause harm boarding takes place. The exposure of such embarrassing, even shameful secrets is transparency at its best and most difficult. Traditionally, such secrets have come to public attention because of whistleblowers, courageous individuals who expose their organization's deep secrets, often at considerable peril to themselves. Transparency ready or not? According to Fortune magazine, 23,000 new blogs appeared online every day in early 2005. By mid-2007, there were an estimated 70 million blogs in the clumsily named blogosphere, up from 15,000 in 2002. Blogs can do far more than reveal secrets. They are able to spread information virally, at stunning speed. In contrast to mainstream media, which strive to present both sides, many blogs openly reflect a particular point of view, including both political liberalism and conservatism. No leader can afford to ignore such a force. Even when damaging information is first revealed by the traditional media, the public's emotional response seems to be heightened somehow in the blogosphere. Economically lethal boycotts can be launched in seconds through blogs. Blogs are uniquely powerful tools for promoting products, brands, and ideas, but they can also be ruthless and all unstoppable in punishing what they disapprove of. Even if unattainable, a no-secrets policy is worth striving for. Given that secrecy and even privacy are less and less likely in a world where every teenager has a cell phone equipped with a camera and internet access, we all need to remember that each of us is more or less always under scrutiny and on display. Whether we like it or not, the new involuntary transparency calls for a new code of behavior, one dictated by the reality that we can never assume we are alone or unwatched. Internal transparency. The universal problem is that when employees speak to their leader, the very nature of the message tends to change. The message is likely to be spun, softened, and colored in ways calculated to make it more acceptable to the person in power. In order to continue to receive reliable information, those in power must be aware that whatever they hear from their direct reports has probably been heavily edited. However, wise leaders find ways to get information wrong. Yet, one motive to turn a deaf ear to what others have to say seems to be sheer hubris. Leaders often believe they are wiser than all those around them. Opacity begins at home. The rules we learn as family members teach us what we should pay attention to, and how we should speak about what we notice. Every family tacitly teaches each member three attention rules. These are the things we notice. This is what we say about them. These are the things we don't notice. Problems that are not acknowledged rarely get better on their own. The emotion that seals people's lips about vital lies is the unconscious fear that if we look at and speak about these dangerous secrets, we will either destroy the family or be expelled from it. The anxiety of living with these secrets is often allayed by ignoring them. To be sure, not all family secrets are bad. There are sweet secrets that have a bonding effect, like the private terms of endearment used within families. The dangers lie in toxic or dangerous secrets. Without anyone having to explicitly tell us how things are, we automatically learn what to notice and what to think and say about it. We also learn what to ignore. The fears in work life echo those from family life. If we speak the unspeakable, we may threaten the organization itself or risk expulsion. Everyone in the organization has experience in keeping secrets. Speaking truth to power. In 2002, Enron's Sharon Watkins, WorldCom's Cynthia Cooper, and the FBI's Colleen Rowley were recognized as Time Magazine's Persons of the Year for courageously bringing news to the men at the top of their respective organizations that those leaders preferred not to hear. As Time reported, the honored trio weren't looking for publicity. They courted great risk in terms of their jobs and careers. Sadly, not only were their warnings about serious ethical violations gown-heeded by their bosses, the women then were marginalized, isolated, scorned, and reviled by their organizations for their efforts to save them. Their motivations differed, but the actions of all three were rooted in what they saw as a moral imperative to act. Perhaps the main reason why so many leaders stubbornly refuse to listen to their subordinates is that they fear the news they carry is of the boss's own mistake. Speaking truth to power is perhaps the oldest of all ethical challenges. Certainly it's one of the most terrifying in that it entails personal danger. From the first days of humans until now, tribal leaders, clan leaders, army generals, corporate heads, and ward bosses all ruled by force. Speaking truth to power is a particularly threatening exercise when it entails owning up to serious error. Indeed, fear of punishment by tyrannical leaders causes many managers to become risk-averse. In sum, before speaking truth to power can be considered virtuous, the act must meet several criteria. It must be truthful, do no harm to innocents, not be self-interested, be the product of moral reflection, come from a messenger who is willing to pay the price, have at least a chance of bringing about positive change, not be done out of spite or anger. This is neither complete nor all-inclusive, and meeting each criterion requires considerable ethical analysis. Morally courageous or just crazy with anger? In 2006, former White House pollster Matthew Dowd publicly expressed remorse for his hand in having promoted the Iraq War. As New York Times columnist Frank Rich reported, Dowd was promptly patronized as an incipient basket case by an administration flack who attributed Mr. Dowd's defection to personal turmoil. Thus, it becomes a practical question that many employees need to ask themselves before they act. Indeed, the most gut-wrenching moments almost all of us experience on the job come when we have to choose between speaking up and remaining silent when we believe our bosses are making serious errors in judgment. Since no one wants to be seen as striking out wildly in anger, before we act, we need to know if our own motives are virtuous and if our response is appropriate. Organizational responsibilities. If anything is clear, it's that executives will not begin to act virtuously as long as boards continue to reward misbehavior. The new transparency is thus changing us in unanticipated ways we don't yet recognize. With its millions of intrusive cameras, its constant potential for trumpeting past indiscretions through cyberspace, and its other discontents, the new reality will force us to adapt or go mad. Eventually, a new etiquette will evolve that will allow us to live more comfortably with the round-the-clock possibility of surveillance by anyone who happens to pass by. Some new methods will emerge that quiets the cacophony of ever-present cell phones and lessens the pain of being flamed online by any malcontent who decides to go after us. Until then, we will have to be more wary, and we'll have to develop thicker skins. And since the cameras aren't going away anytime soon, we'll have to find a way to lower the blinds in our glass houses, if only in our minds.